Blog Talk Radio.
No more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports and Death.
Blog Talk Radio and Trusting God Radio Network, SID Late Night, where you get it last, first to right. And how we start off right here? Hey, we get down in prayer. Take your hat off. Oh yeah, get down on your knees. Heavy man. It's time to pay homage to the King and the Father. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for blessings that have come, will come, all unmerited. For grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. As my mother said, dear Lord, if you find anything like sin around our heart, cast it in the sea of forgiveness. They'll never rise up against judgment. And she said, thank you for being clothed in our right mind. And thank you, Brother Alvin. Another day above ground on this side of the dirt. We simply, Lord, ask you to continue to guide us, to strengthen us, that your way be our way. We simply pray all honor and praise to you and in your name. We close, never ceasing to pray. We close, never ceasing to praise. We close, never ever. And Jesus, say, amen. But John Coltrane, leading us in prayer with his iconic Lord, Miles Davis. From the greatest jazz album of all time, Kind of Blue. It was Miles Dewey Davis who discovered John Coltrane. Coltrane to be the greatest tenor saxophone of all time. Miles said when he discovered Train, he knew he was a diamond in the rough who would eventually become the diamond of the group. He said Miles was utterly upset when Train left, understanding, but he said having Coltrane in the band was like having two saxophones. His greatest piece of work, we got to get this on here too, but love, a love supreme, and that is God's love. FID Late Night. Not going to be long tonight, but get it fast, get it first, get it right. And as always, open up, paying homage to, remembering a friend and a temporary role model, the man who coined the sports definition, Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
And if I may say that the sports definition is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Family. Take it away, good doctor.
What we're going to do to
the blackness
here. SID, Late Night, where you blast, first get it right. We're going to have a segment now honoring some of the people who are good fights. Stories about real people. And, we'll celebrate Independence Day on the 7th of the month. It's also the birthday of Gloria Kim. So, we will wait until later on to talk about that. So, an activist in the Amazon rainforest. More about Chico as we remember and celebrate the Father God. But, we feel my God. He devoted his life to protect his child labor. He was the next one to meet him. And he also met with my joint to tell from the prince. So, baby, how are you doing today? 1984, and then we'll do. And that's what we're going to do. The first one is going to talk about. And the Yankees won. I guess it's going to rain, but let's talk about Chief Joseph. I want to kind of make this a regular section. Tahiga had been chief of a group of Nez Perce Indians for years, but in 1874, he became gravely ill and didn't expect to recover. He called his son Joseph to his bedside and gave him some final words of advice. A few more years, and white men will be all around you, warned Talika. They have their eyes on this land, my son. Never forget my dying words. This country holds your father's bones. Never sell the bones of your father and your mother. A few months later, Talika died. His band of Nez Perce needed a new chief, and 30-year-old Joseph was their choice. It was a difficult time to be a chief. All through the West, from North Dakota to Nevada, Native Americans were losing their land. Some fought with all their strength and died in battle. Others went quietly to reservations, patches of dry land set aside for them by the government. So far, Joseph and his Nez Perce had been lucky. They still lived free on their ancestors' land, but time was running out. White settlers were closing in, and Joseph was pushed closer and closer to the most important decision he would ever make. Should he risk his life for his people's freedom?
As a new chief, Joseph did his best to make peace with the white settlers. He made friends with his new neighbors. He met with government officials and tried to make a deal to save his land. But in May 1877, the axe fell. United States General Oliver Otis Howard ordered Joseph and several other chiefs to come to a council. The leader named Tuhazuladin, I may be saying this wrong, did the talking for the Nez Peace. He wasn't known for being shy, and before long, Howard tried to silence him. Tuhazuladin was furious. "Who are you that you ask us to talk and then tell me I shall not?" he demanded. "Are you the creator? Did you make the world? Did you make the rivers run? Did you make the grass grow? Is this why you feel that you can talk to us as though we were boys?" General Howard answered by throwing Tuhazuladin in jail. He told the Nez Perce that they all had to move to a reservation in 30 days. Joseph rode home. When he arrived, U.S. soldiers were already there. The Nez Perce were outnumbered, and they decided they had to give in. "We were like deer. They were like grizzly bears," Joseph said about the settlers. "We had a small country. Their country was large. We were content to let things remain as the Great Spirit made them. They were not. And would change the rivers and mountains if they did not suit them." Stubborn headed south for the reservation. Along the way, several angry young warriors disobeyed orders and put the entire tribe in grave danger. They sneaked off and killed four white settlers. And Nez Perce knew it was just a matter of time before the soldiers would track them down, and the soldiers would be looking for revenge. The Indians camped in a canyon and waited. General Howard sent some volunteers after the Nez Perce. Then he wired a message to his superiors. "Think we'll make short work of it," he said. He bragged. The volunteers arrived at Joseph's camp. The Nez Perce considered they were outnumbered again. This time it was 2-1. The Nez Perce set out on a group with a white flag, signaling that they wanted to talk. But in response, the soldiers opened fire. And they were soon sorry that they did. The Nez Perce held their ground. Bullets and arrows flew to the air. When the dust settled, the Nez Perce had wiped out a third of the soldiers, and the rest of the soldiers ran for their lives. "I have been in lots of scrapes," an Army scout remembered years later, "but I never went up against anything like the Nez Perce in all my life." News of the battle traveled fast around the country. People were stunned to hear how easily the soldiers were beaten. General Howard was embarrassed. He called for more troops and set out after Joseph. Joseph and the other chiefs gathered their ragged group of 250 warriors, 450 women and children, and 2,000 horses. They headed east for the hunting lands of Montana and Wyoming. In the next 3 months, they would lead the U.S. Cavalry on a 1,700-mile chase. It's one of the most amazing pursuits in American history. The Nez Perce climbed mountains in the wild blue canyon. They outwitted the soldiers every chance they got. They used the forest for cover and hid among boulders. Every time an Army scouting party got too close, Nez Perce sharpshooters picked them off. In July, they had a close escape. They reached Montana's Bitterfoot Mountains and camped in a canyon. U.S. troops managed to block the narrow pass out of the canyon, and it looked like the Nez Perce would have to surrender. But the Indians had a plan. Warriors climbed up the ridge of the canyon. They formed a long line, and Joseph moved all the women and children out behind them. By the time the soldiers realized what had happened, it was too late. The Nez Perce turned south, still hoping to find good hunting country. Early in August, a company of drunken soldiers caught up with them and ambushed the Native Americans on a high plateau. They killed 80 people. Half of them, women and children, before the warriors could respond. The chase went on, mile after mile, week after week. Soon the Nez Perce had only one hope. They had to make it to Canada. So Joseph led his people north. On September 29th, they stopped for rest, just 40 miles from the safety of the border. The Nez Perce knew that General Howard was 2 days' journey south. They decided to take a chance and stop to hunt buffalo in the morning. But they didn't know that the cavalry of Colonel Nelson, Bear Coat Miles, was just north of their camp. At dawn, Joseph woke to the sound of 600 horses thundering across the plains. They fought to a standoff, but by the end of the day, they were completely surrounded. For 5 days, they held off the soldiers. Then finally, Joseph appeared under a white flag, walked into Colonel Miles' camp and handed over his gun. "I am tired of fighting," Joseph told the colonel. "The old men are all dead. My people, some of them, have run away to the hills and have no blankets, no food. No one knows where they are. Perhaps freezing to death. I want to have time to look for my children. Maybe I shall find them among the dead. Hear me, my chiefs, I am tired. My heart is sick and sad. From where the sun now stands, I will fight no more forever." It's a classic line.
I will fight no more forever. Chief Joseph never got to search for his people. The general sent the Nez Perce to prison in Kansas and then to a dry patch of land in Oklahoma, Indian country. Along the way, most of them died of hunger and disease. 2 years later, Joseph went to Washington, D.C. to tell his congressmen about the sad fate of his people. He might as well expect the rivers to run backwards as that any man who was born a free man should be content when penned up, he told them. Chief Joseph was sent back to Indian country and then to a reservation in Washington State, where he died in 1904. He never saw the land that holds his father's bones. I will fight no more forever. The story of Chief Joseph.
The black.
We will go through this book, talk about more here. As you can see, injustice, racism, killing the women and children. You know, I'll always be told when I read these signs about everybody in America just speaking English. It's the native tongue of America. Native tongue of America is Cheyenne, Rapa, Comanche, Cherokee, all the native proud of them. Which is what hard for me to do it. But again, America hasn't changed too much. It's Ferguson. Just that knowledge. On any given day, these sort of things happen. It is said that twice a week, African Americans are slain somewhere in America. I will fight some more battles. A real life hero. Be the fourth commitment. A life is not important, except in fact to have another life. Jack Sosa. Life was a system of early sources. What are you doing for? Who said it's touching? The breath got paid. When Chief Justice Martin Booth finishes that a black man has no life, the white man has gone. There is a black man. Perfect greetings to New York Times sports writer and now Sporting News. Cliff Brown yesterday, today, New York Times columnist, the only African-American columnist in the history of time, Mr. Bill Rhodes, one of the foremost scribes in the history of journalism, as well as Mr. Brown. In fact, it was Cliff Brown who the Times sent out when a young gentleman by the name of Tiger Woods came on the golf scene. They grew together. And Tiger hasn't been the same since Cliff left. Happy birthday, Mr. Brown. Happy birthday, Mr. Rhodes. Birthday will continue the first of this month. That of the late, great Rocky Marciano, 49-0 heavyweight. And the only undefeated heavyweight champion. The seventh is the birthday of Gloria Gaynor. And it is Independence Day of Brazil. The eighth ever squeeze telescope. A close dear friend and a veteran of the Vietnam War. The ninth, Little Mel. Melvin L. Stanley Jr. That's the birthday wishes. Let's talk some sports. And we will do that right now. Brazil. Have Independence Day. That'll be on the 7th. And that's also the birthday of the only disco artist ever to win a Grammy. Gloria Gaynor.
Porque estou tão sozinho. Ah, porque tudo é tão triste. Ah, beleza que existe. Ah, beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa.
It's Sweet Science. That's the day. Manny Pacquiao and Algeria will hold the press conference to announce their fight in Dubai.
the Batman. It also said is maybe looking pass out Jerry to Danny Garcia. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, Oscar De La Hoya. It's Kavik against Bernard Hopkins, November 8th in Atlantic City on the boardwalk, where it all started for B-Hop, the oldest man ever to win the world championship, the longest reigning middleweight champion in boxing history. And we're going to go to a couple of interviews. But one that I like was got a chance to talk to Nassim Richardson, the trainer. And Corner Man, a disciple of Bowie Fisher, who talked about Bernard getting this fight. And interesting enough, too, we're talking a little bit about Floyd Mayweather, who fights this coming Saturday against Madonna in a rematch. And I only see exactly happening this time after the first time. Oscar said, hey, Alvarez, options open. Kurt, of course, and maybe Joshua Crowley. We'll talk to Oscar as we did midday on SID midday. We'll have to do the night, well, you're still going to last first and right. And now it's SID late night, where you'll get the first last right here on Sports Depth on Blog Talk Radio, the Trusted Cloud Network. And with that, we're going to listen to one of the elite trainers of all time, and the man from Bernard Hopkins Corner, his advisor, his confidant, Dr. Shane Richardson, Dr. Stanley, Fourth and Death, Live Talk Radio, the Trust and Guard Radio Network, SID Late Night, where you get it last, first, and last. Mr. Richardson. Can you talk us for a minute or two? Once it's at Rock and Ready, SID Late Night, where you get it first, last, and right.
The great trainers of all time, Nassim. And just again, I shouted at you, it was against the man, Hearns, and Leonard, and you give me a synopsis. You can't chop you with that right hand.
And now we'll listen to B-Hop, oldest man ever won the title, longest reigning middleweight champion in the history of boxing from Philadelphia. Bernard, the execution? No. Nowadays, he's Bernard, the alien Hopkins. SID Late Night, where you get it first, where you get it last, where you get it right. Sports and Death, Doc Stanley.
I realize that being the person in the belt,
that was born January 15, 1965. And being a God that loves history, even when it hurts sometimes, to look at the history of that year that I was born. And I made it through that, without reaching the trash can, in 1965, in America. I was special then. Didn't know it earlier in my life. It was some ignorance. Ignorance, right? That's in the new world. Thank you. A little bit more serious in life. When you finish, everybody go. How did I survive? I'm not switching the topic. I'm just getting to tell you how I feel when I make that. And why I look when I realize that I am somebody. And I realize that I am special. Now, how do I make those special things? I had to go to some tournaments. I'm going to give you a year. No matter what color you are, you're good. 1965, January 15th, Japanese or the Pacific Conflict. I'm special. Get that. My team, when they do it, they get the qualification of it. Because it doesn't deserve them. So now I can put that to that. To that.
When that happens,
November 8th, Atlantic City, going for the undisputed light heavyweight championship of the world. Now, he talked about October 15th, January 15th, big month, spot for his birthday, of course, for the birthday. Fighting and boxing. The 17th, and one of the great welterweights, Buddy McGirt, and one of the greatest, Muhammad Ali. We'll go back to Bernard Hopkins. Well, if you go see it for his birthday, the 12th, the birthday of Smokey Joe Frazier, one of the great heavyweights of all time, the first African American to win heavyweight championship in the Olympics, and first man to ever be Muhammad Ali, and one of the greatest fighters in the history of boxing. Two more days. In front of that, the 10th, George Foreman, oldest man to ever win the heavyweight champion of the world. And what an amazing month. Foreman, Frazier, and Ali, Bernard Hopkins, Michael Jerry, Gordon Nelson. For me, wow, what a special one. 21st is my mother's birthday. 25th is my great grandson's birthday. The 2nd is his mother, my daughter, Trisha. The 4th is my Whitefield is the only man that ever made it in the home run for a 14-mile birthday. And the 31st, Kelsey's birthday is, I guess to him, the first African-American Arts Commission of New York State. Okay, here's another hint. First African-American with MVP and batting championship within the first year to sing. And the first African-American and player that won the award. Yeah. Jackie Bob. Ali. Joe Frazier. George Foreman. D-Hop. Roy Jones Jr. Buddy McGirt. Fourth wife. All in the same month. First daughter, my first grandson. The greatest mom of all time, my mother. January. So with that, let's move into some updates and some scores here. It was a good night for the home baseball teams. The Yankees won 5-1, and McCann had a 4-for-4 night on base four times. A big two-run home run to jump inside the Yankees to a 2-0 lead, drove another run later on in the game. And the rest is history. Yankees now 4 games back from that second wild card spot as the Detroit Tigers lost. Mariners just a half a game back. Yankees playing the last big homestand as we wind down the career of the great Derek Sanderson Jeter. Nets beat the Marlins 4-3 after last night's 6 errors. Now they won 6 of their last
seven games against the Marlins. They play the Marlins every day, they'd be on top. Serena Williams, after losing the first three games tonight, last night that is, came on back 6-3, 6-2. So that means that after losing the first three games, okay, after losing the first three games, she won 12 of the next 14 games. Considered by many the finest female tennis player of all time. Also, Djokovic, Andy Murray, defeated him tonight 7-6, 6-7, 2 back-to-back tiebreaker, 6-2 and 6-4. And, to read more about tomorrow, the first Japanese player in 81 years is in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open. Only in America. Okay, there's your scores. We told you that Mayweather, boxing-wise, Mayweather will be fighting this coming Saturday. And just to give you some more things, let's listen to Oscar De La Hoya as he talks about the Bernard Hopkins and COVID's card. In fact, let's go to the first lady of Lotus, Kathy Dewar. Let's listen to her as she talks about this big fight coming up, a monster fight, HBO. We'll bring you November 8th, COVID and Hopkins. Fighting for COVID, or actually, you're not the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world.
I'd rather go get the sure thing that I know I can get than get into a thing and maybe Bernard gives up his title and everything. Well, he never gives up his title. What do you say in hindsight? But there was a title offer on the table, and there was HBO saying, work with us and we'll work with you. And so that was the decision that was made.
Congratulations, Bernard took this fight.
Under the circumstances that developed, not at all. It took outside circumstances to make all that happen, but once everything was in place and you could see how this was playing out, now I wasn't able to live it.
Congratulations, First Lady of Boxing, for bringing another big fight. I mean, you always have the ability to bring not only a big fight, but a fight of Bernard Classic.
Well, thank you. I like to think I learned from my husband. He made some pretty big fights. I don't have any fight making integrity. I gotta keep my blood moving. This is why I do this. It's nice to bring a fighter along and put him in, build him up, and that's fine. But once a guy gets to that place where he wants to test himself against the best, where he's ready to do that, it's so fun for me to go to fights where my guy's expected to win. And it's almost like anything less than a knockout is going to be a loss. I don't think this is pressure at all. I think this is fun.
You weren't surprised that Bernard didn't take this fight?
Under the circumstances, I wasn't at least that surprised because clearly he was given a choice between giving up his title and taking this fight. And so he took this fight. Of course he did. He's a great champion. I have all the respect for him. He also can take the long, too, as I can. In the end, it's about your legacy. It's not about your one-loss record. He has enhanced his legacy by taking this fight. Whatever the outcome, he's made himself a bigger man.
Legacy, and in beating Shumanov, this was the next opponent.
that he is in line for to try to state what his legacy is going to be all about. You know, so I think that in him making this choice, you know, relatively speaking, at this juncture, which I think is probably going to be the last fight, you know, with his education. I think so. I think now he's looking at him for almost being 50 this year. I think that at this juncture in his career, he pretty much is making it going to be his signature fight, and nothing else he has to prove after this.
We're here at the press conference for Hopkins, Colorado, First Lady of Boxing, SID, for Boxing, June, I called up Jay Blade, said last night, when she gets a chance, we'll stick that question. Jay Blade said that, you know, we heard so much, Adrian, about Cotto and Andy Lee, supposedly that's off the table. We heard so much about Alvarez and Kirkland. I heard now it's Alvarez and Oscar, maybe you can confirm it, as Alvarez and Cloudy.
Alvarez and Cloudy? That's a shocker to me. Because to me, the fight that I think would have been the next best fight would have been Kirkland. I mean, I'm a little surprised that he turned that fight down. You know, I think that Golden Boy is starting to see some of the kinks in the armor of Alvarez. So it was apparent in the Lara fight, you know, and in the Mayweather fight. He really does not fight boxers that box very well. You know, you can see that, and it's a relevant point if you really look at it. You know, that his style and the way he boxes is not, comparatively speaking, you know, he has problems. In other words, he can't fight them straight forward and cut the ring off yet. Alvarez still has a lot of qualities that I feel still have to be improved upon. His ring generalship, cutting off the ring, his head movement, his defense. There's still a lot of things that, you know, can be fine. If somebody exploits them and it kicks in the office.
I think you're being kind to Adrian by not going back to the Trout fight. I mean, that he dropped Trout got up and won that round.
Yeah, well, Trout came back. You know, I really still believe in my heart that was a draw, that fight was a draw. You know, back in the day, if you remember, Doc, in order to win, you had to really be the champion. Nowadays, you know, you don't have the same way of viewing, you know, as you did back then.
You got the right name, just show up.
That's it. So, you know, you can go back, and that goes back to for years that you would see the judges, you know, judging fights like that. But this is going to be an interesting fight. I'm surprised. I told you when I said it on the show that I was really surprised that he took this fight with Fedorov, because I said for the longest time I did not believe that he was going to fight Fedorov. But, you know, Kovalev's a man, and if he's trying to prove what he is and who he is and what, you know, his legacy is all about, this is a good fight for him.
The boxing wave, Lady, there's talk that Cotto may be forced to fight Triple G.
Oh my God, he doesn't want to fight Triple G. He doesn't want to fight Triple G. I don't think that fight's gonna happen. Not right now. I don't think so. He can barely make weight. Look at the fight he fought against Martinez. He fought that fight under
160.
So he can barely make 160. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the old Jedi mind trick is always going on in boxing, so we'll wait and see what happens.
Okay, we've got Madonna and Mayweather, too. I'm saying to everybody, Mayweather will win this one a lot more conventionally, as he will not try to fight him and boxing inside fight. But the bottom line, Lady A, is the last fight, Mayweather won anyway, so what's all the hoopla about?
Well, he won, but I think it's more because I think Madonna pushed the fight early, and just as I said to you before, in order to fight Mayweather, you have to be able to make those ring adjustments. And, you know, if he saw that after a while, you know, Mayweather was adjusting to him pushing the fight, he needed to make an adjustment in his corner to pull out the victory. In order to beat Mayweather, you have to be out of your A-plus game, because Mayweather knows how to make those adjustments defensively, offensively, you know, to attack you. So you have to be able to make those adjustments. Christmas in the ring, I also feel like, you know, in cutting off the ring and coming at Mayweather was advantageous to him in the beginning of that fight. But now that Mayweather pretty much has his game, I don't really see Maidana doing too much unless he's able to push the fight. So I'll wait and see what happens.
And perhaps I get a question to Kathy Duper, who we're speaking about.
Yeah,
another time. Okay. Lady, real quickly, Mayweather wins this fight. No question about it. Who's the pick on this fight, though? Hopkins and Copeland.
I think Kovalev set up a little off. I mean, you know, I think one of the key things that concerns me, though, is what is it that Hopkins saw that he's going to exploit? One of the big things is that Kovalev has not made it past the eighth round in a lot of his fights, and he's been able to knock out guys early. So I think that's going to be a big thing to look at in this fight. You got to realize another thing about Bernard is very elusive. He knows how to move around in the ring, and I'm wondering if that's one of the things he's going to try to use. You know, I was just telling Tim Smith that I think one of the things that you got to look at too with Bernard is that, for me personally, I still get flashbacks of the fight with Kelly Pavlik, and I don't think that he's going to take a fight if he didn't see something. So that's just one of the things that concerns me. But overall, I think Kovalev is a powerful puncher. You know, I think he definitely has what it takes to win the fight.
Watching with Lady A Sports and Depth special live from the World of Astoria SID Late Night Week, the last week, the first week, the right. Sad and touching, the situation of Jermaine Taylor shooting his cousin.
Yeah, I heard about that early on this week, but he was uninvited. So what is somebody that's uninvited doing in your house? I mean, it's just, you know, laws on his side. I'll wait and see what happens. I want to rush the judgment because we don't all know everything that's come out yet. But, you know, early on I heard that he was an uninvited guest. So to me, that's telling me that he came in the house without permission or authority. So Jermaine has the right to do what he had to do. Just like LL Cool J when his house got burglarized and he knocked the hell out of the guy. You know, he knocked him out. So if anybody comes to your house unannounced and, you know, you're uninvited, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't want to bust the judge.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you hear it first. Besides the expected pity, knowledge of not what's happening in the Swiss Science, but also, I mean, the thing, you're right, he came in first last night on SID. We mentioned the high school football player, Mike Bellamy, his alma mater, first ever African quarterback in high school football on Staten Island. You died after practice. That was first announced last night. And you mentioned here, too, that not just Jermaine Taylor shooting his cousin, it's maybe Jermaine Taylor shooting his cousin, a culprit, a man.
Yeah, I don't know too much about your cousin's background, so I can't really comment on that. Like I said, it's just when somebody enters without permission or authority into somebody's house and unlawfully enters and remains, to me, you know, according to the law, that's a crime. So whether it's his relative or not, you know, eyes are on his side. But like I said, I don't know all the details, and I guess everything will come out, so I don't really want to comment.
Yeah, but I mean, Bill, this fight is still happening. We're here at the press conference, special edition, the boxing with us, 88 for the World of Astoria SID Late Night, where you get Lance, where the first you get it right, and we'll be doing interviews on the fight here, and thanks for being with us.
Lady A, a segment here for you, SID Late Night, where you get the last, where you get the first, where you get the right. Lady A, Bet on the Money, that's Jermaine Taylor's story, first broke by Jay Blade, Gilberto Ortiz from the Latin side of Brooklyn on boxing. Marion B. Boykin is iconic, greatest boxing history of mankind. Marion B., black, bodacious, brilliant brother, and Jermaine will be fighting for the IBF Middleweight Championship. We'll talk more about that in the ensuing shows. Bringing you tonight. NFL football season opens up Sunday. It opens up here in New York City. Monday, it opens up in Detroit. The Jets and the Oakland Raiders will clash on Sunday. The Giants and the Detroit Lions will clash on Monday night. That'll be the first game on Monday Night Football. And tonight, hey, you know who's playing? I ain't gonna tell anymore, so you'll find out. We know you already know. Tom. Mets win. Yankees win. Trina wins, Djokovic wins, all the favorites for the top two seeds at the U.S. Open, male and female one. Roger Federer is gliding all along. Michael Sam, how about them Cowboys? Cowboys picked him up. Mayweather winding down to this Saturday's fight against Madonna. tomorrow, the Pac-Man, Manny Pacquiao, prepares to go to Dubai against Algeria, who the last time he fought at the Barclays Center gained himself a world championship. Where is Miguel Cotto going to go to fight? Probably be a massive regard. The question, who will he fight? Andy Lee's supposed to be up the table and how true that is, but we'll find out in the ensuing months, as well as Alvarez. Oscar De La Hoya. Right, let's talk a little Oscar a little quick. Let's continue. Before we close, I'll just give you another 2 minutes. SID Late Night. We're here first, last, and right. So, Oscar De La Hoya. Let's talk a little bit. Oscar the Golden Boy. Oscar inducted Tito Trinidad into the Boxing Hall of Fame this year. And Golden Boy, I said this before, and everybody knows about Oscar had to go away for some substance abuse problems, and they act like Oscar's the only guy that ever did cocaine. Only guy ever had to go away. These things happen. He was out sin catch the first over. Oscar De La Hoya is Golden Boy. As you talk, Crimson Golden Boy is bringing the best fights to the fans. But more importantly, Oscar got it all over. He's talking about other people. Bernard Hopkins, the chief executive. Sugar Shane Mosley, there. Antonio Morocco Barrera. Antonio Barrera. And Marco. So, Oscar just wasn't thinking about himself. But let's talk to the Golden Boy. The number one non-heavyweight fighter in the history of pay-per-view. Of course, this is before Weidman and Rivera Duran, but Oscar De La Hoya, biggest draw in pay-per-view history outside of heavyweight. Let's talk to the Golden Boy here on SID Late Night, where you did last, first, and right.
Start of making the fight.
fighting that the fans want to see. So this was very important for us to, you know, making the fight. Yeah, look, I mean, look. You don't see the Yankees versus the Mets every weekend or every month. You don't see the Jets versus the Giants. You know, you don't see them every day. You know, so this event here, yeah, this is the fight that the fans were demanding. The fans wanted to watch, and we came through. Was it easy? No. But it was possible. It was doable. So can we make other fights that the fans are demanding? Absolutely. It's just a matter of breaking the ice, and this is what we did here with this fight. We broke the ice.
The
fights that you're hearing, Elocoto, Mayweather Pacquiao, Danny Garcia Pacquiao. All those fights. I mean, there's too much at stake. You know, it's like the fans have been paying for a first class ticket sitting in coach, you know? For the last, I don't know how long. It's time the fans get what they deserve. We have options. We're looking at several guys like Kirkland, like Andrade, like Josh McCloudy, like there's different guys that we're looking at, but there's nothing set in stone yet.
He's not
exclusive to be signed to anybody.
So you can move him around if that be
true. Well, I mean, obviously wherever Canelo wants to fight him, that's where we're.
That's big beef. I mean, that's a big
beef. Huge. But whatever the fighter wants to do, that we just work for the fighter. That's basically what we do.
There you have it, the Golden Boy. Did you hear some things he said? We just work for the fighter, looking for the big fights for the public. And hey, how to break it to Showtime. We have a good relationship with Showtime. Class and character. You don't obtain class, you have it. It's like wings and speed. You're born with it. Oscar De La Hoya is a class act. He was a great champion. He's a great human being. His credit to the game. Tremendous promoter. Greatest of all time is Don King. And Oscar even acknowledged, he said, that DK was the first guy to give you those super-duper cards from head to toe. I remember being at a fight in Vegas. Robert Lee Jr., son of the then IBF president, in fact, was IBF, the first African-American organization, African-American-led organization to honor me. World Sports World was the very first. And I remember the first fight, I was coming down getting ready to go to the fight. I want to grab some room, and I see Robert Lee hurriedly heading towards the ring. I said, Rob, where you going? Rob said, hey, Doc, it's the first fight. It's the championship fight. And you're a champion. And you listen to SID Late Night, where you get it last, where you get it first, where you get it right. You heard Lady A. Gave me a special segment. The voice in the background and the Oscar De La Hoya interview. Lady A, myself, and Tim Smith, greatest boxing writer of this generation. And hope you enjoyed the interview. Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy. Also talked to B. Hopper, and a Hopper's oldest man ever to win a world championship. Nassim Richardson, one of the great trainers of all time. And Kathy Dewar, the first lady. She has been a credit to this game, part of the sweetness and the sweet science. The lady who took over after her husband, Dan Dewar, passed away. You know, main event was a family situation, but some things came up, and main events rolled one way, and Dewar boxing came about. Anyway, we get ready to run. Larry Hart is going to close us out, as he always do. Yankees, Mets winners, Detroit lose. Yankees advance in that wild card situation. Serena Williams and Djokovic, big winners tonight. Number one seeds at the U.S. Open. How about them Cowboys? Michael Sam gets that taxi squad job with Jerry Jones.
and the Cowboys. There's a lot about the organization. We don't know what's happening at the Miguel Cotto and the Leaf fight. As Oscar told you, a lot of things are possibly happening with Alvarez. One thing that came up yesterday, too, is what you Charlie going to do? He hadn't even signed a contract. He had a big $1.5 million fight coming up. Danny Jacobs wants him. Triple G wants everybody. Nobody wants him. Larry Harness is going to take us away to SID Late Night, where you get it last, where you first get it right. We salute tonight. The good fight. Stories about real heroes. Chief Joseph, I will fight no more forever. A continuing saga of the story of the injustice, the unrighteous, the unfair dealings to Native Americans, which I, by the grace of God, am possible. Native American with my African-American heritage. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest African sportscast history of New York City radio will leave us. Marvin Gaye then will close us out. SID Late Night, where you get it last, get it first, get it right. Catch you tomorrow night, gang. Thanks for being with me. Trust in God. Greatest piece of instrumental music ever done by Cool and the Gang. No madness. Kind of mad, too. Time is gone. And so are we.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And with that, I'm going to run away. But before we go, Marvin Gaye always has to say, and this I'll say to you before I leave. By my heart, God bless you all. Trust me. I used a couple sayings from back in the day. The chief rapper Frankie Crocker had one that was so great. Frankie used to say, if I'm not on your radio, your radio ain't on. And there's another one. May we all live to be 100, be minus today. So I not know that good folks like you have passed away. Mr. K, please have
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try
to save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to love, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, let's feel. You got feeling. You will save the babies. All of the children. But who really cares?
People running all around, chasing after things that'll just run them down. Life is so much better if they change their ways. I wish I could tell them, but you know I can't stay. Cause I gotta get running and get home to you.
Gotta get home.
And my heart keeps running when I think of things you do.
Think about things.
And I won't be running. There's no one else, no one no more.
Thank you. Cruising together, the music, oh, cruising is made to love. blackness. Keep on.
unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hand, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so cruel.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sins.
You paid it all.
I've done and seen it all.
woman to call my very own. Let him sing, crying over me. Cause this time, baby, I won't leave. There is no place left for me to roam. I just had to know what there was to be. Now I know that was foolishly. Cause when you've got someone who waits for you while you're gone, you should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold your own. Lay it closer to me. And don't you wait without a thing. All your lonely days gone. And do
please back home.
She doesn't even know me.
My imagination.
said you loved me. Those kind of men you say. There I was dancing. I felt like friends.